In 1995, I was leisurely taking a bath, and my husband, who also was a skeptic, called me out of the bath to our bedroom window. And one wall of our bedroom is a window, and we're pretty high in the mountain. We have a panoramic view of the city skyline, so we know what cars look like and planes and helicopters and so forth. We're very familiar with that. And this was quite different. He said, you know, get over here quick. Look at this. And a little below us, over a private gated residence, were three amber orbs in a pyramid formation, one on top and two closely aligned underneath. It was startling, but incredible to see something like this. And I immediately looked underneath to see if anybody was creating, and it was pitch black. And it was, you know, very hazardous desert ground anyway. And, you know, I thought to myself, something really struck me that it was so anomalous and so awesome that I tried to take everything in mentally, the size, the shape, the color, and so forth. They were about 3 to 6 feet each, depending on how close they were. They seemed to be about a city block away. I called them an orb because the light did not extend outside the edge. The light was self-contained within each object, and they were oval-shaped like an egg on its side. And there were three distinct objects, very closely aligned, and they didn't glare at all. The light inside each orb was a uniform amber color throughout, and I could immediately notice that all the other lights out there glared. These did not. They were mesmerizing and soothing, and it was really an amazing experience just to see this. And I thought to myself, if I don't get a picture of this, no one's going to believe it. So I ran to the closet to grab my camera. My husband calls me back, get over here quick, one of them is disappearing. And as we both watched, the top orb, without budging, now I have to say the only movies that I had seen prior were E.T. and Close Encounters, and we have two sons that during their childhood growing up, we watched Star Trek a bit. And I remember, you know, the Romulan cloaking device,
right?
Like it wavers a bit. This did not do that. This was rock solid. It didn't budge, but it was dimming very, very slowly. And after it dimmed, it felt like it was still there. As if perhaps it went to another dimension. I had no concept of where it could have gone, but it felt like it was still there. I immediately got out onto the balcony, noticed a very eerie silence as if time had stopped. And I took a quick picture of the two lower orbs, and you can find that on the website, thephoenixlights.net. And as intently as I was looking at these orbs, it felt that there was an intelligence watching me. And let me tell you, I did not share this with a soul until after the mass sighting because it just seemed so bizarre. But in my mind, I was thinking, who are you? What are you? Do you know that I'm here? I'd love to meet you. And the next thing I remember, the left bottom orb started to disappear, and I quickly shot a picture of that. That was the only one that turned out at the time, but for me, it was confirmatory that we had seen something very unusual. I didn't know what it was, but I got a picture of it. And interestingly, when we finally did go back to those pictures, and that was not until a year and a half after the mass sighting, when we really inspected those pictures very meticulously and noticed not only was the same phenomena in the background, in the distance, in a line, disappearing when the close orbs were disappearing in the same location as 2 months before the mass sighting and during the mass sighting. Again, the data speaks for itself. But at that time, we had had another sighting in 98 where I alerted some of the people that were in different directions. So we had people situated north, south, east, and west that captured a 20-minute array of these straight lines and mirror images, and the grand finale was this giant triangle in the same location again as my other pictures. And again, I had gone to great lengths to have my photos explained to me, and was only told that no one ever had taken both 35mm and video from the same vantage point prior to and prior, during, and after an historic event. And I was looking for other outside experts and found was advised to call Dr. Bruce McAbee, Navy optical physicist, renowned not only in ufology but also as a physicist, and sent him the video of the four arrays that we caught in 98. And as an afterthought, I stuck in the two pictures from 95 sighting and asked him if he could possibly tell me what they were, if someone of credence could examine them and actually tell me what they might be. And he came back a couple weeks later, and he said, how long was that sighting in 95? And I said, oh, 2-3 minutes. He said, are you sure? I said, that's what it seemed. He said, that's impossible. And I said, what do you mean? He said, look at the pictures. And it's right there. I've had them up on the website since 2004 when I came forward after 7 years of anonymity, and I put the data out there. And he said, look at the skyline. The skyline in the first picture has many more lights on it than in the last picture. And we're talking groups of lights, not just individual lights.
Right.
But I'd like you to do an experiment. Now, talk about wrapping your head around this, okay?
Right.
He says, at the same position, try to take the skyline for 15 minutes one night, a half an hour another night, and see when the lights start going off. Now, I usually take a bath between 7 and 8 in the evening, and let's be conservative that my husband called me out of the bath at 8 o'clock. Well, we were finding, as I was taking pictures of the progression during the night of the skyline, that the first lights start going out around 9 o'clock, and the last picture is indicative of around 10:30, 11 o'clock. Okay, what do you do with that?
Right, exactly.
At that point, you asked me how I felt. I couldn't even deal with it, to be totally upfront. I mean, this was something so beyond anything. I just couldn't even go there. I was just learning about UFOs in general and the history and that this is happening worldwide and so forth. As it turned out, Dr. McAbee presented the case at the MUFON International Symposium in 1999 as the first, and this is in Washington, D.C., as the first photographic evidence ever of missing time.
How much, again, give me the idea, how much missing time do you think you experienced that night of the sighting?
Well, if we look at the data, we're talking at least an hour to 2 or 3 hours.
Okay. So who else would have experienced that missing time, that chunk of missing time with you that
night?
Well,
my husband was inside and I was outside. And I have
you were outside.
That he, too, remembers that it was just a few minutes, and he would never talk about it. That was one thing that was very strange to me, because to me it was wondrous and incredible and just fantastic and such an exhilarating feeling to have seen something so unusual and so anomalous. He would never talk about it. He didn't want me to bring it up. He would not talk about it, and that was that. And that, to me, was, you know, everybody comes from a different background, a different upbringing, a different belief system. And some people, it will take longer than others to have this sink in, or they don't even want to deal with it. And that's okay.
Sure.
Everyone in their own time.
Right. So have you ever been regressed hypnotically?
No, and I don't choose to be right now. I have to say that's another reason I wanted to share this data, because not only could it possibly help us move forward in our own understanding of time, because we may be primitive, maybe linear time, the past, present, and future, is primitive, that we have to start really looking at and embracing, and science needs to come on board. That's really important here. I don't know what these things are, but I know that they are. And it's time we get it out in the open, and we address it, we accept it, and we study it, so we can move forward in our own evolution. So that was one of the reasons that I really wanted to come forward with this, to say, hey, look at the data, and
right.
Certainly you can make up your own mind what you think it's about, but it's there, and hopefully it will help with quantum physics and the thought that, hey, you know, maybe there is parallel times, there's other dimensions out there, and this is one step towards showing that data to make it a reality.